You know, some things that tempt us are just not worth it. And that's a little bit what we're talking about today. We're talking about our weaknesses. Got me thinking of my childhood. Any of you watch cartoons with superheroes growing up? Yeah, any of you, okay, now this, any of you watch like superheroes when they used real people? Any of you like that? So all the old people raised their hands. That was me too. Let's see if we recognize some of them. Who's this all-American hottie? Yeah, that's Wonder Woman. Now, do you know what her weakness was? It was not shopping at Nordstrom. It was when you take her two wrist things there and put them together, she became weak. Here's another one. Incredible Hulk. What was his weakness? Yeah, he got a little angry. We talked about that last week. And then there's this guy, Superman. And we all know Superman. 1, 2, 3. What was it? Kryptonite. That and Lois Lane were his weaknesses. In fact, I was reading a blog. There's about 100 blogs on superhero weaknesses. Can you imagine that? And you wonder why does American productivity suffer just a little bit? And one guy said his weakness is kryptonite and Lois Lane, just like real men. And we're going to talk about some of the weaknesses that we have when it comes to the area of our sexuality. Now, I did a series 6 months ago, Love, Sex, and Marriage. And what I did is I wanted to focus on the positive. When it comes to our sexuality, God's intention in a marriage relationship, because that's really, God created sex. Do you know that? It was his idea, one of his very best. It was God's idea. But there is a downside to it. And I want to talk about that because this is really, we're studying Matthew chapter 5 in the Bible. And this is what Jesus talks about. We've been looking at the Ten Commandments. And then in Matthew 5, Jesus says, well, you've heard it said, but now I say to you. And he gives us some redirection. Let's look at Matthew 5, 27. You've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And he says, long before you go to actions, there's something that goes on in the inside. And then he says, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for the whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. And so he's, you know, what is he saying there? This has been a verse that's probably caused a lot of angst among junior high boys over the years. What he's, I shouldn't have said that, but I did every service. And what he's talking about, he's not talking about the literal gouging out of an eye or something like that. He's saying this is serious business, and you want to address it very specifically. And so, you know what, I'm not going to spend a lot of time saying, you know, why adultery is bad. People know that, especially those of, I mean, if that's been an area of sin for you, you know that. There's a lot of pain there. And I want to say right up front, if you're a follower of Christ, it says you are a new creation, that God actually will forget our sin. In fact, I want to remind us with a verse that says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God has forgiven you, period. My goal today is not to condemn or to bring up bad memories. It's to just talk about a way of moving into the future that will make sense for all of us. See, quite honestly, I think we're a bit naive. We are naive when it comes to this topic. I don't care if you have a great marriage or if you have a struggling marriage, if you're single or married or young or you're old or who you are, the reality, and this is our first villain, reality check. Sexual temptation is a lifelong reality. Once you think it's not going to be you, then you're in trouble. I remember thinking that. I don't know if I've shared this story before, but I was pastoring a church down in California. I had some boundaries, and so one of the things was I was solo pastor, no one else in the church, and was meeting with someone who was involved in our worship department, female, and so said, hey, only meetings in public places and all of that. And then what happened is, you know, I'm just thinking like, hey, we're just talking and having a good time. And then she starts sharing how she is attracted to me and how, you know, what she's interested in. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, Ben, this must happen to you quite often. And so, what? Something funny must have happened. Anyway, you know, unfortunately, there are boundaries already in my life. Interesting, though, that came up probably one of the worst times in our marriage relationship with my wife and I. And there are some things I had learned in advance. And so there was, even though when there was struggle and there was opportunity, was able to back away from that edge. And so I want to talk about how we do that. Here's what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except which is common to us all. And God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, isn't that interesting? Not if, it's when. When you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. The Bible says it's not a sin to be tempted. It does not mean you're a pervert or a weirdo or anything like that. It means you are normal. Hebrews chapter 4 says Jesus was tempted in every way, and I think every includes everything, so it would have to include this. And so he was tempted even in this way, being fully God and fully human, yet without sin. And so he gives us both a command and an example to live by as well. So the question is how do we get hooked in this area of our life? At some level, whether it's adultery or pornography or lust, I mean, this is for the vast majority of people, this is not a dim, an issue in the distance, that it's dim and they can't see. It's something that they struggle with. Here's what happens is, first, we're exposed to sexual impurity. We're exposed to that. I don't know when that happened for you. I know it's happened probably for everyone. Well, probably it has happened for everyone. I was coming back from junior high in Tacoma where I grew up, and I was with some junior high buddies, and we saw some magazines in the bushes. And we're like, okay, let's check out what those magazines were. And it was not Time. It was not Newsweek. It was magazines. In fact, there were very few words in those magazines. They were pictures, and there were lots of pictures. And interesting, of course, I didn't look at them, but my friends were quite interested. And so that was the first time. It's like, wow, wow. And then see, what happens is then we become sexually confused. What is normal? What is normal? The media can do that. You know, that can happen even in schools, is that we're taught what maybe something is good and it might not be. And then what happened is if we get in a period of where we're struggling with lust or pornography or whatever it is, sexual addiction, we experience periods of sexual sobriety followed by sexual binges. And this can be many things. So that's the process in which this happens. But what are principles of faithfulness? This is not a silver bullet, by the way. Will this be helpful? Yes. If you apply it, will it make a substantial difference? Absolutely. Almost immediately. But this is the beginning of a process, especially for those of you who are struggling intensely with this today. For those of you who aren't, this is a warning for us as well. Well, principles. The first principle is to manage my mind. Why? Because what I think will influence what I feel, and that'll influence what I do. That's why the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. See, the battle is won or lost here. If we have our minds completely open, we'll allow some garbage in that we don't want there. And so what happens is we need to start the renewal process. It's talked about in the book of Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the promise there is in that command, or in that principle, that transformation is possible. It's not just possible for someone else. It is possible for you. It is possible for you. Because long before we do something that is wrong, we're thinking about something that is wrong. I've been a pastor for 20 years. And people all the time say, hey, I don't know how it happened. And every year I'm talking to people who have gotten caught in adultery. And it happens long before the act of adultery. It really does. At some point, someone takes their clothes off, and that's when, we sort of start to go down this path where it happens. Well, how do we manage our mind? Well, one is just think about what we're putting in there. Think about even the songs we're listening to, the TV and the movies that we're watching. Now, I'm not going to go all Amish on you at this moment and say don't watch, because I love to watch TV and movies. But I think about that, and there are certain categories of things that I am very careful to not allow in my mind. I'm not saying that we should all come here next week. Everyone bring your TVs. We're going to burn them. And then we're going to hear the demons screeching or singing Justin Bieber songs or whatever demons do. My daughters told me Justin Bieber is so like 3 months ago at this point. But no, I'm not saying that. I'm just thinking, what are we putting in our mind? Because often we're exposed to something that's not healthy and is really not reality. We'll use, organic foods. In fact, I'm sort of going back on sort of an organic food. I'm going to be eating tree bark again pretty soon. And organic clothing. But we don't think about the purity of what we're allowing in our mind. There's a verse in Psalm 101, verse 3. King David says, I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. You know, King David is an interesting character study in the Bible. He, of all people, he's called a man after God's own heart, really the hero of the nation of Israel, the most passionate faith, really, compared to any character, any prophet, any priest, any king in the Bible, no one had the level of passion of faith to God that David did. And he loved God, and it was authentic, and it was real. And he struggled. Good people struggle. Godly people struggle. Godly people fail. And God, does God forgive? Absolutely. Not all the consequences go away. David, it's interesting, David's life, he never, in terms of political leadership, he never had that kind of level of leadership as that became public. But his faith, that did recover in his life. Now, I wasn't raised in church, but you may have been, and so you've heard the story in the Bible. So David he's there. It's time when the army's going off to war. They're defending the nation of Israel, and he decides to stay back at the palace. We don't know why. Maybe he was bored. Maybe he was having a midlife crisis. We know, it's funny, if you read about his marriage, he was married to King Saul's daughter, who was very whiny. And it was not a really great marriage. And so there are lots of reasons why. And so he goes to the roof of the palace. The palace would be the highest building in Jerusalem. He goes at a time of day where women happen to be taking a bath. Well, they took bath on the tops of the roofs at that time of day. So it's like, oh, I just happened to be there. And I've shared that. I had a buddy of mine. And he said, I'm struggling with lust. I was in Europe. I was in the red light district of Amsterdam. And I said, dude, I love you. But you're a moron, is what you are. You shouldn't have been there in the first place. So not always that compassionate. But anyway, what happens is David is, he's there, and he sees this woman, and she is hot and like, got a rocking bod. It doesn't say that in the Bible, but I'm adding that in. And she was taking a purification bath at the end of her menstrual cycle. So he sees, man, she is hot. She's alone. And it's going to be safe. And so he sends for her. And now he has all the power in the relationship. So, and they have a one-night sexual encounter. And he thinks, whoa, got that out of my system. And I'm safe. And then later on, he gets a message back. Hey, I'm pregnant. I've said before, that's why we call, birth control. We're not anti-birth control, but we have a term for people who do use the rhythm method. You know what we call them, right? Parents. And that's what really happens with David. Some say, I learned all sorts of things in church. Isn't this a great place? So he's there. And you know what's interesting? The cover-up is way worse than the sin. And that's often the case. See, oftentimes we confess when we get caught instead of before then. And so it's just a web of destruction. And you know what he's saying? David talks a lot about faithfulness because he knows what it's like to have everything, and there maybe he had his excuses, and to go down a path he didn't want to go down. And so he says that as a cautionary tale for us. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee the desires of youth and pursue righteousness. And when it talks about desires of youth, it's talking about sexual desires in particular. Faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord and of a pure heart. He says that's the destination. Number two, don't take the exits. So what I mean, this is for married couples. Proverbs 5:18 says, may your fountain be blessed, may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Saying, don't take exits along the way. What happens is we get resentful and we withhold affection. We stop making time for each other. And we take little exits before we take the big exit. And I've seen it where people will come to the day of an affair or the day of their divorce and they'll look forward to it like they did their marriage day. Because they've taken exits along the way. And we don't even see it happening. There's an old show, one of the first reality shows called Temptation Island. Any of you remember that show? Yeah. So you guys saw that? I didn't because I'm too pure. No, the whole idea is these people, it's sort of funny, they go on Temptation Island with their significant other, and the idea is that they're tempted away by someone else, and they're like, I don't know how it happened. Well, you were on Temptation Island. That was sort of, we fool ourselves. I mean, you think about the great nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty, that one, Humpty Dumpty sat on a, Humpty Dumpty had a great, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. So what's the existential problem with Humpty Dumpty? He was an egg on a wall, right? Yeah, it's like, the problem wasn't that he was broken, the problem is Humpty was an idiot. My interpretation, exegesis of nursery rhymes as well. So the problem is that we can be like that as well. And we get too close to the edge and we wonder what happened. We need to have what we need is number three, we need to build firewalls. We need to build firewalls in our relationship. I've read a couple of these online. This is a newer one I read. For permission to date my daughter. I like this one. First part is innocuous: name, date of birth, height, weight, IQ, GPA. Then it has more personal questions. Do you own a van? A waterbed. In 50 words or less, what does light mean to you? In 50 words or less, what does don't touch my daughter mean to you? In 50 words or less, what does abstinence mean to you? And a little more personal fill-in-the-blank questions. If I were shot, the last place on my body I would want to be wounded is in the. If I were beaten, the last bone I would want broken is my. When I first meet a girl, the first thing I usually notice about her is. And then it says, then the response, note, if you answered in the way I think you did, discontinue and leave the premises. Keeping your head low, running in a serpentine fashion is advised. Thank you for your interest. You will be contacted in writing if approved. Allow 4 to 6 years for processing. So the funny thing is that, I love my daughters and I know that I want them to have firewalls in their life. Just like I have my own. But I also know that it's not going to be some funny application. It's going to be something that happens in their actions and their attitudes and in their mind when it comes to this aspect of their life. It says that we shouldn't fool ourselves, 1 Corinthians 10:12. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. Don't become overly confident. That's why we need a boundary. I talk to people, especially there's sort of a generational divide when it comes to pornography. Younger people say, that's not really a big deal. I don't know why that's a big deal. That's because you just haven't had the conversations I've had with people. People who, to be as frank as I can be with you, people who are addicted to that, but when it comes to like the real thing, are having significant problems because the fantasy and the real thing don't match up. I'm not even talking about what it does to the relationship. I'm just talking about them enjoying God's gift of sex. So there's great things. There's great filters like Covenant Eyes or XXX Church that really have filters where you can get accountability partners in this area. And it's really significant when it comes to this is that you get help. We have a number of groups here. Well, I can tell you the stories of guys who have struggled for decades and have found hope and healing and are living a life that's more full and free than they've ever lived in their entire life. And now let's stay practical. Think about social networking. I like social networking, but I also know it says about one, this one stat I read said about 1 in 5 affairs begin on Facebook. And so that, some old fling from the past and says like, how are you doing? And it can, I'm not saying to stay off Facebook, but I'm just saying just be aware of that. I've shared this story, in the last year or two. When I first came here to Redmond, I had someone look me up on Facebook. And she was, I didn't realize what was happening. And she said, why don't we meet for lunch? And I'm like, I would love to. You should meet my wife, Terry. She will be with me. And you know what? She didn't contact me after that. And I know some of you are saying, man, so if people are after you, then I'm in real trouble. And it really is true. It doesn't matter what you look like, what you act like. Even quirky guys, any person, see, the thing is we just don't think about it. It's said that most affairs happen with work associates or with friends or family members, which is sort of weird, maybe like in Appalachia or something like that. That doesn't even happen in Tacoma. But you think about that. Why is that the case? Well, because when you go to work, what do you look like? You look good, right? You go to work. You are dressed well. You took a shower. You may have cologne. You combed your hair. You've got your A game on. You're sort of ready for your day. And you are feeling powerful and successful. And so you're there, and then you run into another person, and they're like that. And you know what you experience? Something that's not quite reality. Do you know what reality is? Reality is kids screaming in the background. Reality is spilling something on your shirt. Reality is someone's got diarrhea. That's what reality is. And you say, that doesn't sound too sexy. Or I hope you said that. But the thing, so what happens is we get in this fantasy world that really never becomes the real thing, because then reality will chase you. And we just need to be very, very careful. That's why one of the things I do is, like little rules I create for myself, little firewalls, boundaries. I don't ride alone in a car with a woman, except for my wife or my daughters. And, what are you saying? Are you that much of a perv, Ben, that you have to, No, I'm not. I just never want to get real close to the edge. That's something that I've determined in my life. And so, and as a married person, I probably wouldn't ride alone with another adult of the opposite sex in a car. Now, if you're single and they're single, go ahead and do that. That's called a date. That's awesome, you know? But it's just one of those things that try to create it. So because I know there will be moments in my life when I'm discouraged, when I feel bad about myself, when I feel distant from God. And at that moment, I know the enemy of my soul would want to use that point. And some of you, this is not theory. You say, I know, I've been there, Ben. And so what I'm just saying is one of the things we want to learn together is to build firewalls in our relationship. And it's so important that, I talk to ladies and your husband is just not good at getting it. And, so you'll dye your hair purple and he doesn't notice. So what happened is we go fishing for compliments from other people. And see that these kind of things, they're not that bad, but they lead down a path. And so what I'm just saying is these firewalls and boundaries are meant to keep us off ever going down that path. And part of that is just making sure we make time for each other. That we need to have a firewall around our time. I've shared that one of the things I've started to do is I leave my cell phone at a little table at the door away from the kitchen, and so I can't even hear it. And so I reserve time. Some of you look like, Batman with all your gadgets around your belt. And is it that important? I mean, if you're a doctor on call, okay, I get it. But we need to have boundaries. Number four, live with an open door policy. It says, have nothing to do with the fruitful deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. When you live with secrets, your sin has an opportunity to grow. We talk about around here, lights on, windows open. Is that we just have, if one of the great things you can do for even better than accountability partner, I have an accountability partner, but I also know if I want to, I can lie to my accountability partner. So what I've determined is just to live a life that's a little bit more out in the open. I talk to people and they have six different email accounts, some with aliases. If you have an alias on your email account, then that's probably not a good thing. It means that I have a group of people who I allow in my life. Like even my computer passwords, there's at least a half dozen people at church who know my computer password so that they can check up on me. Number five, maintain healthy habits. Make sure you have habits in your life. This is for married people, I'm talking about in particular, to prioritize the person you're married to. I talked about this a little bit in the series we did in the fall. We think, well, the grass is greener on the other side, and you've heard the phrase, no, it's greener where you water it. That means that I make time, that I don't take those little exits. I know people spend $30,000 on a divorce attorney, but won't spend $30 on a babysitter. And so go ahead and spend the time up front. It means you talk frequently and openly about sex. And a very difficult thing to do. The Bible says this, husbands should fulfill their marital duty to their wife and likewise a wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. Do not deprive each other, except for perhaps by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Don't you love this? Some of you guys just found your new memory verse. That sex is not only encouraged among married couples in the Bible, it is commanded. That's why they call this the good book. At least that's one reason I do. So it can't be demanded of your partner. It's this atmosphere of trust that's built, where sexual intimacy and fulfillment flourishes in a relationship. There's a bizarre story in the Bible. By the way, if you're just checking out Christianity, one of the things you'll want to know from a comparative religion sense is if you read other so-called holy books, the story is too seamless. The people are too perfect. It seems like it's made up. My contention is because it is. You read the Bible, there's stuff in here that if I was trying to convince people of about God, I would never include in this book. Why? Because it reflects reality, things that really happen. One of the weirdest stories in the Bible is about a guy named Amnon, and he was son of David. He has his half-sister Tamar. Actually, he says he's in love. Really, he's in heat is what he is. He's in lust with her. And then he tries to seduce and then ends up sexually assaulting her, raping her. Terrible story in the Bible. And it's interesting when you read the story, what it says happens. He thought that this was driven by great passion. And in his case, he thought he was in love. And then after all of this happens, it says, then Amnon, this is in your outline, then Amnon hated her with an intense hatred. And in fact, he hated her more than he loved her. That doesn't make sense. This was his fault. Why did he hate her? When you use sex to take rather than to give, it does something incredibly destructive inside of you. And there's a form of sexuality that takes from people. And it takes from your own heart. And so Jesus, when he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you've heard it said, don't commit adultery. And that is so true. He said, but there's a path you can start to go down that'll lead you to a place you told yourself you would never go. And don't even get on the path. Final thought. Flee, don't flirt with temptation. So you might say, okay, Ben, this is hitting me right where I'm at. You might be in the middle of an affair, in the middle of an addiction. What does the Bible say for someone like me? It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There's nothing that you've done that can keep you away from God's love. The only thing you could ever do to keep you away from God's love and transforming power is to reject the offer he gives you. And God would allow you to do that. But I would say, why? When God has such a better plan for your life. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you that we can deal with difficult subjects. And God, that we can open up our hearts and our minds to you. Because we know that you come, yes, you come as the holy, righteous, just God. But you also come offering grace. And God, I would pray for my friends this morning who need an extra dose of that grace, who are very much aware of the patterns of behavior that are really destroying them and they just don't know how to get out. God, I pray that you would show them a way, that this would be the beginning of a process where they would step in and get the help they need. And God, that they would confess and just allow you to do the things that only you can do through the power of your Holy Spirit to transform and to heal and to renew our mind and our heart. God, I pray for those who stand and sit as examples among us of faithfulness. God, I pray that they would hear your words, well done, good and faithful servant. God, I pray for those who have been on the other side of addiction, of affairs, of all of this, and they have seen you work and seen you restore. God, I pray that you would remind them of your grace. God, not even the pain involved, but just how you showed up and that how you brought them to a better place. And I thank you for them. God, I pray that you would be with all of us that we would live lives that honor you, which also just happens to be lives that make sense. God, I pray for those of us who are here today who just needed this reminder, who needed this nudge in your direction. And God, maybe it has nothing to do with our sexuality at all. But God, that there are areas that you've brought to mind in our heart and in our life that we just need to lay before you. And we need to trust you for healing. We need to trust you for direction and trust you for transformation. And we do trust you, dear Jesus. And we pray this in your name. Amen.